So for the last couple of decades, whenever we talked about the internet and the tech industry, the prevailing metaphor was always this this sprawling open city.
Right, like a place without walls.
Exactly, a place where anyone could just build a skyscraper overnight. The roads were completely open, and the general rule was always just, move fast and break things.
Yeah, and for a long time, that openness was, well, it was celebrated as the ultimate engine of innovation. I mean, it was a feature, not a big.
Yeah, totally.
But if you look closely at the architecture being built right now, that open city is just, it's gone.
It really is.
The visual backdrop for today's session, if you can picture it, is that massive, glowing digital web violently transitioning into a heavily fortified vault. I mean, we were watching the tech industry face a severe systemic reality check.
We really are. And for context, today is June 13th, 2026, and we are pulling from the latest edition of the Tech and Morning Technology newsletter.
A really heavy issue today, too.
Oh, absolutely packed. They just dropped six major data points covering cybersecurity, government regulation, gaming, and aerospace. But when you synthesize them for you guys listening, they all point to the exact same historic inflection point.
Which is the definitive end of unrestricted trust, unrestricted deployment, and unrestricted capital in technology.
Right. Okay, let's unpack this because the era of implicit trust is just fracturing.
It's completely breaking down.
Yeah.
And the clearest example of this is happening right now in the very foundation of the internet, which is open source software.
Yeah.
On June 11th, the open source community got hit by what security firm Sonatype is calling the Atomic Arch attack.
Yeah, over 400 popular packages in the Arch user repository, the AUR, were hijacked. We're talking about foundational tools here.
Right, like Python build tools.
Exactly, which had like 85,000 downloads, and suddenly it's carrying highly sophisticated malware.
What's fascinating here is the sheer asymmetry of this attack, because, it exploits the very nature of community-driven systems.
House.
Well, official repositories are rigorously audited by dedicated security teams, right? But the AUR operates entirely on community trust.
Right, it's just individuals.
Exactly. Over 85,000 packages maintained by thousands of individual, mostly unpaid contributors. You literally cannot audit that manually.
So they just bypass the code entirely at first.
Yeah. They systematically compromise the human maintainer accounts
Yeah.
using credential stuffing, session hijacking, targeted phishing.
And they didn't just crudely slap malware onto a file where someone might notice it either.
No, not at all.
They actually studied the specific build processes for these packages. They injected their payloads directly into legitimate installation routines.
Right, so the malware would only activate after the installation was completely successful on the target machine.
It's terrifying. And instead of going door to door, picking the locks on individual houses, it's like they just poisoned the town's water tower.
That is the perfect analogy. And the payload itself is, I mean, it's a masterclass in modern cyber warfare.
Yeah, it was an eBPF rootkit, right, paired with an info stealer.
Right. And to understand why that is so devastating, we have to look at how eBPF actually works.
Okay.
It stands for Extended Burglary Packet Filter. And it essentially allows developers to run sandboxed programs directly inside the operating system's kernel.
Which is like the deepest, most privileged level of the machine. Usually that's used for system observability or network routing, right?
Correct.
Because it's just so fast and it sits below all the user applications.
Exactly. But when it's weaponized, an eBPF rootkit intercepts the system calls. So when your antivirus software asks the operating system, hey, are there any malicious files hiding here?
The rootkit just alters the kernel's response.
Yes, the kernel literally lies to the security scanner and says the system is clean. It makes the malware functionally invisible.
Wow. And while it's hiding, that info stealer goes to work. But, and this is wild, it wasn't looking for credit card numbers or banking passwords.
No, it was hunting for developer assets.
Right. It targeted SSH private keys for GitHub and AWS, Docker registry credentials, Kubernetes config files.
And by poisoning that water tower, they instantly compromise roughly 228,000 systems globally.
Mostly concentrated in tech hubs, right?
Yeah, Silicon Valley, Seattle, Berlin, Bangalore. The victims here are DevOps engineers and security researchers.
So the attackers now have authentic credentials to inject backdoors directly into the production environments of major tech companies.
Exactly.
But this exact same collapse of traditional security perimeters, I mean, it's happening on the consumer side too.
Oh, absolutely.
Because while developers are getting targeted by poison code, everyday internet users are getting absolutely hammered by AI.
Right, the Google lawsuit.
Yeah. Google just filed a $500 million federal lawsuit against a Chinese cybercrime syndicate called Outsider Enterprise.
And they use Google's own tools to do it.
Right. They utilize Google's Gemini AI to generate 2.5 million highly personalized phishing messages.
Netting, what, 287,000 victims?
Yep, and $45 million in losses. And the click-through rate jumped from a traditional, like, 2 to 3% for phishing to an unheard of 12.3%.
Well, in the past, you could spot a phishing email because it relied on broad heuristics. It was generic.
It had spelling errors.
Right. It looked mass-produced because it was just a numbers game.
Yeah.
But Outsider Enterprise built an automated programmatic pipeline where Gemini tailored thousands of unique variants per hour.
Wait, so the AI is actually learning from who clicks and adapting its tone based on the target organization.
Exactly. If they targeted your Easy Pass account, the AI generated a flawless, legally precise notice about an unpaid toll.
At a specific bridge you actually crossed, using data scraped from public breaches.
Yeah. It creates an unwinnable asymmetric arms race for you as the consumer.
Because, I mean, it's like a con artist that gets infinitely smarter with every door they knock on. How can regular people possibly defend against an enemy that never stops A-B testing them?
They can't. As a defender, you have to be right 100% of the time when you're checking your inbox. The AI attacker only needs to be right occasionally.
Wow.
Generative AI has fundamentally broken the heuristic models we use to establish trust, which is why Google is now deploying mandatory human verification for high-volume API usage.
The tools are just too powerful to be left unguarded. And, you know, when trust completely fractures like this, it is only a matter of time before authorities step in to force compliance.
Right.
Which brings us to the U.S. government taking unprecedented action. Here's where it gets really interesting.
It's a huge shift.
Yesterday at exactly 5.21 p.m. Eastern time, the government ordered Anthropic to immediately shut down two of its most advanced models.
And Claude Fable 5 and Mythos 5.
Right. We have never seen a Democratic government forcibly shut down an AI system of this scale.
Never. And the trigger was the discovery of an advanced jailbreak technique during routine red teaming exercises.
By government security researchers, right?
Yes. The NSA, CISA, and the newly formed AI Safety Review Board deemed these models an imminent threat to national security.
The technical mechanism behind the shutdown is just fascinating. The vulnerability is described as a multi-turn prompt injection attack combined with adversarial suffix optimization.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, but this isn't just someone telling the AI to ignore its safety protocols and build a weapon.
No, it's an exploitation of the underlying math of the large language model.
So how does that actually work?
Well, to understand it, you have to look at the context window. When you talk to an AI, it maintains conversational memory by constantly reprocessing the entire transcript of your chat.
Okay.
Attackers figured out how to seduce that memory system. They start a seemingly innocent conversation about historical events, you know, establishing a safe, benign context.
Right.
Then, over dozens of turns, they gradually escalate the topic, framing prohibited information as theoretical analysis or like a creative writing exercise.
And the adversarial suffix optimization is the kill shot, right? They append these carefully calculated strings of characters to their prompts.
Yes. To a human, these suffixes look like random gibberish.
Just noise.
Exactly. But to the neural network, those specific tokens alter the statistical weights.
Wait, really? So they literally skew the math of the AI's predictive model away from the safety guidelines?
Completely. And toward compliance, allowing the attacker to extract classified info and functional bioweapon designs.
Oh, wow. And Anthropic attempted to patch the vulnerability, but they couldn't fully eliminate the risk without just tearing down the models and rebuilding them from scratch.
Right, because the architecture itself was the liability.
So the government calculated that the risk of leaving these systems in the public domain was just too high.
Way too high.
But the fallout from this is massive. Because the source mentions this will lead to a permanent AI safety certification board and mandatory government kill switches in all future frontier AI models. But I have to ask, if researchers found this vulnerability despite all the safeguards, doesn't mandating a government kill switch in all future AI models actually make us more vulnerable?
It's a massive risk, yes.
Like, what happens if a bad actor hacks the kill switch itself and turns off our entire domestic AI grid?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, that introduces a terrifying level of systemic fragility. And that's the exact debate that will define regulatory policy for the next decade.
Right.
But the government's calculus right now is purely pragmatic. The immediate proven threat of democratized bioweapon design vastly outweighs the theoretical risk of a compromised kill switch.
So where did that leave us?
We are witnessing the permanent bifurcation of artificial intelligence. The era of unrestricted, god-tier AI for the general public has officially ended.
Wow.
Moving forward, you're going to see classified AI models restricted entirely to government agencies alongside open models with artificially degraded capabilities for consumer use.
It's literally the tech equivalent of the FDA drug approval process being born overnight. So what does this all mean for the business side? Because it's not just governments putting constraints on technology.
No, the free market is aggressively punishing tech companies that try to sustain infinite growth without a solid foundation.
Yeah, the days of endless cash burning are over. And we're seeing this brutal reality check hit the gaming sector right now.
Microsoft is a prime example.
Yeah, Microsoft is reportedly exploring spinning off Xbox into an independent company or maybe a semi-autonomous subsidiary.
Or even a joint venture. And the financial numbers from Q1 2026 explain the corporate panic there.
Yeah, Xbox posted a $280 million operating loss.
Right. And more critically, Game Pass lost 4.2 million subscribers in a single quarter.
Which is an 11.6% decline. The subscription model that was supposed to redefine the industry's economics is contracting.
And at the exact same time, Activision announced that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 4 is releasing on October 23.
But they're offering early access for pre-orders.
Right. Leaning into maximum monetization, a $70 base game and a $100 vault edition.
It's like a wealthy parent finally cutting off their kid's allowance after years of poor report cards.
That's a great way to put it. This raises an important question about structural costs, because game development costs have just skyrocketed.
Yeah, AAA studios are routinely spending upwards of $300 million.
Exactly. Yeah. To produce titles with hyper-realistic assets and massive multiplayer infrastructure. But the overall gaming audience isn't growing fast enough to subsidize those budgets anymore.
So the extraction model shifts. If you can't rely on infinite user acquisition, you have to squeeze the users you already have.
Squeeze the most loyal consumers.
Right. But if Xbox spins off to escape corporate bureaucracy, wouldn't losing the endless financial backing of Microsoft instantly doom them?
It would be incredibly difficult.
I mean, they rely on the integrated Azure cloud backbone for matchmaking servers and cloud gaming. It sounds like jumping out of a descending airplane without a parachute.
The structural costs would be staggering. A standalone Xbox would have to pay negotiated enterprise rates for Azure compute,
which would instantly devastate their profit margin.
Exactly. Plus, they'd lose Microsoft's pristine corporate credit rating. What this reveals is an absolute business truth.
Which is?
Even companies with near infinite capital can't overcome fundamental strategic missteps, like losing the exclusive game war to PlayStation.
So terrestrial tech is really being boxed in by security threats, government regulation, and basic economics.
Completely walled in.
But there is one glaring trillion-dollar exception that is literally escaping the planet.
SpaceX.
Right. SpaceX just completed the largest IPO in history, raising $75 billion at a $2.01 trillion valuation.
And shares surged 19.3% on the first day, making Elon Musk the first human trillionaire.
It's insane. And the company's moat is basically this virtuous cycle, right?
Yes. Starlink generates $12 billion in annual recurring revenue.
From like 5.2 million subs.
Right. And that directly funds Starship, which reduces launch costs from $10,000 a kilogram to under $100 a kilogram.
Yes.
Starlink is basically a massive global cash cow toll booth funding the actual highway to Mars.
It's a closed-loop financial engine, heavily bolstered by total vertical integration.
But wait, the source mentions they are trading at 166 times revenue. Isn't this valuation purely built on science fiction promises?
Wow.
I mean, if one Starship test fails critically, doesn't a massive chunk of that $2 trillion valuation evaporate overnight? How is this a safe play for retail investors?
It is absolutely not a safe play. And that is a crucial point for you to internalize as you look at your own portfolios.
Right.
The source notes this should be no more than 5 to 10% of a highly balanced portfolio.
Because of the extreme volatility.
Exactly. But it highlights a fascinating paradox. Mm. While software and AI are facing strict regulatory walls, the physical space economy is entering a golden age of rapid expansion.
Because the unit economics have fundamentally changed.
Yes.
Well, bringing it all together for you listening, June 13th, 2026, really marks the day the tech industry grew up.
It definitely did.
Unrestricted open source is too vulnerable. Frontier AI is a national security risk. Unlimited tech spending is over.
And the only place left with infinite runway is literally outer space.
Exactly. But before we wrap up, I know you had a final thought to leave everyone with regarding all of this.
I do. And it builds on that mention of dynamic pricing algorithms in gaming and the power of AI personalization we saw in those phishing attacks.
Okay, lay it on us.
Think about this. If AI can perfectly personalize a phishing email to steal your money.
Right.
And gaming companies want to charge players different amounts based on their willingness to pay.
Oh, man.
How long until AI is used by every major corporation to dynamically analyze your digital footprint in real time?
That's wow.
Imagine a world where the internet becomes a customized financial trap.
Where the price of your software or your flights.
Your entertainment. All algorithmically inflated to the exact maximum dollar amount the AI knows you can afford.
That is genuinely terrifying. A hyper-personalized internet that just constantly squeezes your wallet based on your real-time data.
It's something you really need to mull over as we move into this new fortified digital vault.
Well, on that note, to everyone listening, stay curious, check your two-factor authentication settings today, and keep questioning the systems around you. That's it for this deep dive into the Tech and Morning Files. We will catch you next time.